The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It's David with Isaac tonight. I'm not rolling solo. We are here post-game after a nail-biter, man. The Grizzlies hold off the Warriors 104-101 in overtime. And I'm watching this game, and the Grizzlies tie it up. The Warriors are coming down the floor, and I told my wife, I'm like, it's over. Steph Curry had the ball in his hand. I was fully expecting a dagger from Steph right there. Fortunately, the defense held out, forced the overtime. The Grizzlies were able to win the game. Isaac, I think you said it all, man. It's much easier to stay up when the game's in like this.
Definitely, man. Late night, man. We just got out of the post-game presser. And just super impressive. I mean, you go back to last night and how that played out. And you got a young team, second night of back-to-back, last game of a road trip, and you're thinking that this could be a tough one. You know, figure Golden State had this one circled from last year, from the Grizzlies knocking them out in the Bay Area last year, going into the play-in. You're thinking they're going to be looking for revenge. And they came out, and it looked like that early. I was like, man, this is going to be one of those nights. Grizzlies down 17 in the first quarter, 37-20. But they just didn't give up, man. They just kept battling. And there were times where Golden State would kind of throw a punch and they just never quit. And, man, the resiliency that this team shows, I mean, it's just fantastic. And to do this without Dylan Brooks, I mean, that's even more impressive. And just like you said, man, with the Warriors, and Steph Curry's on the floor, you just never feel like it's over. I mean, you just feel like anytime he's just going to come down, anytime the game's close late, that he's going to come down and hit a dagger shot, and just never came. Never came in regulation, and never came in overtime. Damian Lee hit some big threes, but they held Steph Curry in check, man. I can't remember the last time I've seen Curry miss that many consecutive threes, especially in big moments like that. Just did a fantastic job on him tonight, man. There's nothing else you can say about that.
Yeah, well, I think he had 23 or 24 at the half, and he ends the game with 36 going into overtime. You have to be, as a Grizzlies fan, watching the first half of this game and the way that this game started, how bad they looked defensively, the adjustments that this coaching staff was able to make throughout the game for them to be playing at the level that they were at the end of this game in order to win it, it was huge. We were right back to what they were doing against Portland. Ton of open shots, a lot of open looks. The Warriors got some easy buckets down low with Draymond Green handling the ball. And I'm like, man, not this again. Not this again. I can't stomach watching another one. Last night's podcast was rough without you, man. I stumbled through it. I got it knocked out. But I didn't have anything positive to say. And that's really the first time all season that I didn't have anything positive to say.
Yeah, it was a rough night last night. And you kind of go back to those first two games, and what we've kind of been seeing is they've struggled defensively all year. But the thing about the first couple games, and I won't even say the Lakers game because they were right there in that one, their offense has been enough to make up for their defensive shortcomings, and that wasn't the case at all last night. They not only was the defense bad, they just couldn't score, especially in the second half of that game, and you saw the results. And that kind of looked like where this one was heading tonight. Look at the first quarter. I mean, just killing them at backdoor, just killing them at backdooring them to death. And they just didn't have an answer for it early. But kind of when this game changed, and they were still down by 10 at the half, but when they brought that second unit in, plus Jaren, and we've talked about this before, I haven't been a big fan of Jaren at the five. Like, I've just always thought a lot of people felt like that's where he would eventually end up playing for this team. And I kind of thought he was better at the four, but I think playing Jaren at the five, it kind of opened up the floor offensively and allowed them to kind of switch everything. And they brought him in with that bench lineup, and he was playing center. And that's kind of what his game flipped. I mean, some really, really good minutes there, and kind of gave the Grizz a little bit of momentum going in the half. Golden State kind of went on a little bit of run there. But they had to lead down to 10, which it had been 19 at one point. And I think that's kind of what gave them the momentum going into the half to kind of keep this thing close and keep it in striking distance. And from there, into the third quarter, I mean, the defense ramped up. I mean, they locked in, just like Josh said. And, man, that's one of the better defensive performances that I've seen in a while from this team. I mean, just second half, just complete defensive performance from Melton and Kyle Aaronson blocking shots at the rim. I mean, Melton just everywhere, still an inbound pass, is getting tips. I mean, it was just fantastic. And again, the job that they did on Steph, I think they said he was like 1 of 9, I think I want to say, down the stretch from the fourth quarter on. Mm-hmm. It was just tremendous, man. And again, man, the resiliency for a young team to bounce back like this after the performance last night on last game of back-to-back with travel. I mean, that's just it's crazy to see, man. You just can never count this team out, because I think most people after last night had to kind of resign. This was going to be a loss, a schedule loss, as you say, and it was not that at all, man. And to beat this team second time in a row in overtime out there in San Francisco, man, it's just fantastic.
How about the free throws tonight, man?
Yeah.
I know it's kind of like
second night of the back-to-back. Yeah. Makes it even more impressive.
I was harping on free throws last night because they missed so many. And
they were 9-19 last night.
Yeah. You know, like Steven Adams didn't miss. Steven Adams shot 4.
Man, he's been fantastic for the line. That's kind of, I think he was like 40-something percent. Like, has he even missed one this year?
He hasn't. Season? To this point, yeah, he is not.
He missed one. I think he only missed like one or two in the preseason. I know. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's missed any in a regular season. And he was like a 42% shooter last year.
He's been historically a bad free throw shooter.
Yeah.
But he's been good so far in the regular season. You know, I don't want to get too far away from, you know, the credit you were giving D'Anthony Melton. Four steals and 3 blocks tonight.
It's ridiculous and stuff, man.
You need that kind of stuff from him. And that's why, like, he's so important. Because of what he can do on the defensive end. He was terrible offensively tonight.
Yeah, he only scored 7 points, and he was 3-for-10, yeah.
1-for-6 from 3.
Yeah.
The inconsistencies that we were concerned with, and I'm not going to harp on it a ton tonight because I did talk about it last night at length, inconsistencies are a concern for him, and we're having a little inconsistent stretch here. He was good early, had a few good games starting off, and then, you know, these last couple games – he's really been almost invisible in the offensive end. But, you know, when you're 3-for-10 from the field, 1-for-6 from 3, and you're still a +7 on the night, you know, or, well, not plus, that's his points. He was still a positive. He was +1 on the night. You know, like, you're doing something extremely well on the defensive end. And that was, you know, holding Steph Curry in check.
Yeah, shout out to my guy, Brevin Knight, Grizzlies color analyst and friend of the program, who's calling him Mr. Do Something. I mean, he lived up to that building tonight. I mean, like you said, did struggle offensively. Only scored 7 points, and again, 1-of-6 from 3, 3-of-10 overall, man. But 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks. And, I mean, almost all those plays were key. I mean, those blocks late in the game, man. He had a steal on an inbound. I remember just all over the floor tonight, just making plays, and they don't win this game without those plays that him and Kyle Anderson made defensively. Neither one of those guys really played well offensively, but you just look at Kyle's night, 8 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. I mean, just big, big defensive plays down the stretch. And
one
again,
of them,
man,
huge during, late in the game. Yeah.
He had a block at the rim. I think it was Iguodala going to the rim. Kyle had a big block on him. Got him clean, man, and I think that led to I think they scored on that possession, which was huge in a huge moment in the game. So, again, man, these guys locked in. Defense was a problem in the first quarter, but from like that mid-second quarter on, when they brought that bench unit in, the Grizzlies kind of outplayed them. I had the numbers here. I can't remember how much they outscored them by. So, pretty big margin from that second quarter on. But, again, man, just a fantastic, fantastic win by this team. And as they say, man, they haven't been saying this for a while because Pete and Brevin haven't been traveling with the team, but hashtag happy flight, man. It's going to be a good one when they're coming back home to Memphis. And got a big game on Saturday night against Miami, man. And it hopefully Grizz Nation comes out to support this team, man, because they earned it tonight, man. I just fantastic, fantastic win, man. I don't even have words to describe it, really.
I missed an opportunity there, man. You mentioned Iguodala, and I really wanted to plug in a Max Kellerman thing there, but I missed it. It's late. I'm mentioning it now, but the one-liner is not as good at this point. We're talking about defense, and Jaren – I know that there are a lot of people that are upset with Jaren. I've witnessed it. I've, you know, like the amount of slander that he's getting right now is just insane.
It's ridiculous, man.
But here's a stat that you're not really going to look at, that you don't see in the box score. You really got to dig to find it. The Grizzlies with Jaren Jackson on the floor, they're a 103 defensive rating, 103. That's their defensive rating. With Jaren Jackson off the floor, they're a 117. A 14-point difference between Jaren being on and off the floor, he's impacting the game. He's doing
one and plus minus on the team. Yeah. +14, highest plus minus on the team tonight for Jaren. So, I mean, that's something, I mean, people, and criticism of him, like, and you tweeted out earlier, like, these people are going to be eating some crow at some point. And that's definitely going to happen. And again, I mean, he's not playing terribly now. I think, I mean, he's missed some shots. I think at times forced some threes up, but he's doing good things. I mean, again, I think one of the biggest stretches of this game outside of the stuff in the second half was that second back end of the second quarter where he came in with that second unit. And again, man, played really well leading that unit. So, I mean, he's doing some good stuff. And again, they don't win this game without him. I think in that scramble had a big offensive rebound late in the game. I mean, he does some good stuff out there. And I just think people are looking at the contract. They look at his injury history again, and they're just already have these preconceived notions to jump on him when he's not offensively not playing as well as they think he should. But, I mean, again, his offense is going to come. And we've seen this guy make shots. We know what he can do. But, again, he's impacting the game in other ways, and he hasn't been terrible like a lot of people would have you believe if you look at social media, so to speak.
Yeah, 8 rebounds from him tonight, 15 points. Wasn't great from the floor, but he did make adjustments. He had some 100%. Fouls early, and, you know, he had 3 fouls pretty early in this game, and 2 of them were extremely avoidable fouls. They were like frustration fouls. And we talked about that some in the beginning of last year with Dylan making frustration fouls. And Jaren's got to get away from that because of the way that he plays. He's going to get a call against him every single game on the defensive end because of the way that he plays. He's going to get a foul call that is questionable every single game. He can't afford to have the frustration fouls. It's not going to end well for him. And, you know, he had those 3 fouls. He ends up only getting 4 for the rest of the game. But I was worried that we were going to have him off the floor for an extended period because of those 3 fouls. And, you know, he ended up, you know, keeping it together and staying on the floor and making a huge impact. Like you said, the biggest plus minus on the team.
And you could see it last night for those that feel like he struggled when he went to the bench last night with those fouls. I mean, that was kind of lights out from there. That's kind of when Portland took over the game when he was off the floor. I mean, if you watch the games and just don't watch the box scores, when he's off the floor, you'll see how much they struggle. They're much better with him on the floor. And you laid out a stat, and it's probably even more impactful than I would even thought from what you just said. That shows you right there how important he is to this team. And I do want to send a shout out to Zaire Williams. If you just looked at the box score, you say, oh, he played terrible. 4 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, a steal, 2 blocks, only 2 of 9 from the field, 0 of 7 from 3, but a plus 12. Played 21 minutes in the game. And I had some people on Twitter kind of dogging him, saying, I don't understand why he's playing. But kudos to this coaching staff because they've decided very early on that they're going to let him take his lumps. He's going to be – because he was out there for – in crunch time and some really, really important segments of the game tonight. And they let him stay out there and play. And I think he did a great job on Steph the times that he was on him. Fantastic job on him. So shout out to Zaire and his coaching staff. I mean, this is going to pay dividends long term. And you look at this box score again, you wouldn't think he had a great game, but the 2 blocks and the length, I think, really bothered Steph when they had him on Curry at different points in the game.
Yeah, I was super happy with it. You know, the 3 defensive stats are good. That's the fantasy basketball guy in me being super happy about that, you know. But he was effective on the defensive end. And because, you know, he's got that, you know, 6'9 frame with extremely long arms and he can move his feet, he can be a terror on defense. And I think that's going to play out pretty well for the Grizzlies. You know, especially you're looking ahead to the playoffs and you're looking at teams, the Utah Jazz, who they matched up with last year in the playoffs. Every single person on that team outside of Whiteside and Gobert can shoot the 3. So you're going to have long guys that can guard the perimeter. Zaire Williams gives them another guy that can do that and need that. I had a conversation, and I believe it was from somebody that initiated the conversation with you last night, and they were upset because Zaire was on the floor. And I'm like, man, if you're going to be mad because he's playing rough,
yeah, you're going to be mad a lot.
Like, you better buckle up because you're going to be pissed off a lot this year. Because
he's playing.
Yeah, like they're not going to set him down. In order for this team to get to the level that they want to get to, you have to go through these lumps with him. It's just part of it. It's something that, you know, there's going to be times when it's tough to watch. There's going to be times when we're like, oh, you know, get him off the floor. That's going to happen. But we just got to suck it up and get through it, because at the end of the day, like, the Grizzlies need him to be good in order to reach their ceiling.
Yeah, and to talk about Morant tonight, I think we've seen the last few games, going back to the Lakers game, where teams are now throwing size on him. They're crowding him every time when he tries to get to his spots. They don't allow him to try to force the ball out of his hands. For some reason, the Lakers went away from it in the second half. Portland kind of stuck with it last night, and I mean, then it caused him to struggle, even though he still, you look at his box score, he still had good numbers last night. But tonight, he kind of talked about it in the post-game press conference tonight, said, He got out of the bed in the third quarter. He said he wasn't even awake, it feels like, in that first half. 18 points in the third quarter for him. Tied as high as ever. I think the only other time he scored 18, last year's opener against San Antonio, he had 18. So he tied his career high in a quarter with 18 tonight. But ended up with 30 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 11-22 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3, 6-6 from the free throw line in 42 minutes. Was a minus 4, but most almost every item on the team was a negative because of that big deficit early in the game. But I mean, just been fantastic plays down the stretch. What about the big three that he hit over Draymond Green? Just a deep three, held the poles, man. I love that. Well, I mean, I just love that fire from him. And again, man, struggled in the first half, but came up big when this team needed him and made big plays down the stretch. And that's what you want to see from your young all-star. And I think he's going to be an all-star this year, because, I mean, you keep on putting up numbers like this. I mean, another 30-point night for him. It's fantastic, man, and just easy to watch. When he gets going downhill, it's hard to stop. And I love the confidence that he's stepping up and taking those threes with. I mean, you don't see a hesitation at all. He's letting them fly. Even when he's not making a lot of them, he still steps up and takes a shot with confidence. And he had a couple long ones tonight. I think, how many did he hit? 2 of 8. Both of those threes were long, long threes that he hit tonight. So I like it that he's shooting threes with confidence, because, again, man, when he's able to knock down shots from the perimeter, that just makes him even more tougher to guard.
Yeah. One thing that he's got to clean up, though, man, the turnovers. You know, he had nine last night. And he had, what do you have, five tonight?
Five tonight.
Yeah. So, you know, that's something. He's a leader of this team. And, you know, when you have the ball in your hand, when you're out there and you're the playmaker for your team, you're going to have turnovers. But the elite guards that are able to lead their teams and take them to the championship level, they take care of the basketball. And that's, you know, that comes with time. I think that he gets better. And obviously, you know, even with the 5 turnovers tonight, he still led them to the victory. But that's something in a close game. One or two of those turnovers can make the difference between winning and losing. And so, you know, like in that Portland game, some of them were just like long errant passes, you know, like he was trying to, you know, initiate the break and he slings out a long pass and the defense was just able to get to it. You know, it was, you know, not passes that he typically makes, but it's, you know, I'm just kind of nitpicking, honestly. Like he had a good game tonight. And that 18-point third quarter really propelled the Grizzlies to the win. I want to see that stuff get better. And I know that he does too. You know, you can tell anytime that he is, you know, he's talking about improving, and he doesn't really – when I think it was Drew that said something to him tonight about the 18 points in a quarter, and he didn't even realize.
You said I had 18. I think he wasn't even aware that he had 18 in the quarter. And like you said, he holds himself accountable, even when like he lost, like in the Lakers game where he missed a free throw. But I mean, he did everything he could at 40 points. I mean, it's hard to kind of be critical of a guy when you have 40 points, and he still felt like that loss was on him. And that's the attributes of a leader, to hold himself accountable. And again, I think he knows that he has these turnovers. He said him and his dad and his mom, I think he was on ESPN the other day, that they go back and watch every game. So he sees this stuff, and he's definitely going to work on it. I think at times some of those turnovers, he tries to make home run plays at some time. He can do these crazy things. So he tries some stuff that sometimes probably he probably shouldn't try, and it kind of ends in turnovers. because, I mean, he's so superhuman at times and does all this crazy stuff. And then somebody he always tries to do some of these things, and sometimes they result in turnovers. And I think that's kind of where you see some of that from. But and he handles the ball so much that you're going to have some turnovers. But, yeah, I mean, you don't want to see – look at the box score and see nine down there. You have five assists and then five turnovers. That's not what you want to see. So I agree that you want to see those cleaned up. But, again, that's being nitpick. I mean, he's been fantastic and been doing everything pretty much for this team offensively. So not too critical of him. But, again, that is something that I think as his game matures that you'll see get cleaned up.
So here we are. I'm kind of moving away from Ja. Did you have anything else on him before? I don't want to keep bouncing back and forth.
No, man.
So there is something. Tillman gets playing time, and we got BC with a DNP coach's decision tonight. We talked about it in the Lakers game, and we talked about it because of the size of the Lakers. The Warriors are not a big team. So why do you think that, you know, what happened that Tillman is getting the time and BC is not? And we still have John Conchar. It was 7 minutes. It was only 7 minutes. But why is John Conchar still getting time? And why do you think that Tillman is getting the time over Brandon Clark?
I think if you look at last night, I think Brandon's performance defensively is probably why we saw him get a DNP CD tonight. I mean, he struggled. It wasn't bad offensively. There was kind of a debate going on with Grizz Nation last night on Twitter with Brandon Clark. Someone saying he's playing really well. Other people saying he struggled. Offensively, he wasn't bad last night. But defensively, man, it was a mess. And he wasn't the only one. It was pretty much the entire team outside of Des and Bain. So I'm not going to jump on him like that. But I think that's kind of what we saw tonight. I think they probably trust Tillman more defensively. And I think that's why we kind of saw some minutes from him tonight, but I think it's probably going to fluctuate throughout the season. It seems like those two guys, one game, it might be Brandon Clark. If he has a good game, he might play a couple games. And then if he doesn't, Tillman might play. And I think that's kind of what we saw tonight. And some solid minutes from Tillman. Played 22 minutes, was a plus three, four points, four rebounds, three assists, one steal, two of five from the field. So doing a little bit of everything out there. I think really, really solid minutes. Remember tonight, not a lot of scoring from the bench, but I think pretty much outside of Country, all the guys played really well. Tyus came in and played some good minutes tonight, hit a big three that they really needed from the top of the key. 5 points, three rebounds, four assists, two steals, two of five from the floor, one of three from three in 17 minutes. And he was a plus six off the bench. So he's been playing well. He talked about feeling like his three-point shoot numbers were subpar last season, and that he really got a lot of shots up this summer. And you've seen this. He's been shooting at three confidence, and he's been knocking it down through these first five games. So, I mean, and that's valuable. And we've talked about Ja, and as he matures, that, and you hate to say this, but that they don't really need a guy as good as Tyus as a backup. I mean, I think he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season, and he's going to be able to go somewhere and probably make more money and play more minutes. The Grizzlies are not going to pay him probably what he's going to get on the open market to back up Ja. I mean, I think we've kind of seen that he's been phased out a little bit. I think Ja played 42 minutes tonight. It's highest 17 minutes.
They were playing together, you know.
Yeah, they do. But they did have a little stress there. You're right that they played together. So he's been playing well. I've been impressed with him. I mean, the numbers, he's not getting big offensive numbers, but he's coming in doing some good things. I think, say, he had 11 assists and no turnovers on the season so far. And he's been coming down, knocking down threes. And if he gets a couple threes a game, that really helps his team out the bench. So I've been impressed with what Tyus has done.
Yeah, he's shooting 50% from the field on the year so far. So, you know, I mean, his shots are falling. The thing that I like that they've been doing with him, and I've watched it a couple times over these last couple games, is him playing without the ball. And catch and shoot, he is good, man. He's a good catch and shoot guy. And I was trying to pull it up while you were talking about him, and I didn't get it pulled up. But I'd be interested to see what his catch and shoot numbers are. I'm sure it's a pretty high percentage. I would guess that he's probably over 40% on catch and shoot. That would be my guess. You know, that's not for sure, but I will have that whenever we come back for the next game. I don't mind it when they run Tyus and Ja together, just because, you know, it gives you the bit like Tyus catch and shoot, his ability. And then also, you know, like Ja can play off of the ball and Tyus, you know, Tyus takes care of it. He doesn't turn it over. And that's an extremely important trait for a backup point guard. You don't have to have a guy that's going to go out there and light up the scoreboard. You have to have a guy that manages the game. Tyus does it well. But like you said, he's probably going to get a lot more money on the open market, and he deserves probably to play more than 17 minutes a game.
Yeah, he's definitely better than a 17-minute-per-game player. But, again, man, while he's here, I mean, he's doing good things off the bench, and it's good for the Grizzlies right now. So we'll see what happens. I guess he could be a guy that you could look at a trade deadline that they might look to move. Those expiring contracts are valuable. Even with Jared Culver, he's $6-plus million. I mean, they got a lot of ammo, man. Again, I've long said this, even going back to the summer, just kind of getting off topic, but I think this team makes a semi-significant move at the deadline. I mean, they have three first-round picks in this year's draft, and they could hold on to all those picks and possibly use those picks to try to move up, or they could use a couple of them in a trade here. But there's no way that they're going to execute all three of those picks. But I think – and they got a lot of second-rounders, too, coming up in the years. So, I mean, they have a lot of ammo if they wanted to make a move, and I think we'll possibly see that. Kyle is another guy that we've discussed that you could see moved at the deadline as well. So they have a lot they can put together to make a move. But I want to look at the team stats here a little bit. Field goal, the Grizzlies 39 of 97 for 40.2%. Golden State 39 of 90. So the Grizzlies get up seven more shots. Golden State outshoots them. They shoot 43.3%. From three-point range, Grizzlies go 12 of 48. Not a good three-point shooting night for 28%, but 14 of 40 for Golden State for 35%. So Golden State is only plus six in three-point shooting. Anytime you can be within plus six, only give up a six-point differential in threes to Golden State, you're doing pretty good because they're a team that you know going to put up a lot of threes. So they usually outshoot most of their opponents from three. So only to 12 to 14, I think, for the Grizzlies. I think that's a good number. And I think you had actually told them that before the game. I think they would have taken it. Free throw line, 14 and 14, perfect for the Grizzlies after going 9 of 19 on the second night of back-to-back. Golden State, 9 of 12. So the Grizzlies, two more shots at the free throw line. That's something that you're probably not going to see going against a Steph Curry-led team. Grizzlies out rebound them 51 to 48, 10 offensive rebounds to 7. So, I mean, just a solid game outside of their first quarter. This team just played really well tonight. And again, man, a big, big win. I felt like going 2-2 on this trip was big. I thought it would be probably the Clippers in Portland. But again, we just never know in association. I kind of talked about that before this trip started, that you just never know what's going to happen. And the road trip looked tough on paper, but I felt like they find a way to come out with two, man, and they did, man. And it's good to feel good, some good vibes going and coming back home, going to Saturday night against the Miami Heat.
Yeah, the Grizzlies get 8 of the next 10 games at the Forum. So a lot less traveling here, I think, where they go to Washington and then to New Orleans. So two fairly short road trips comparatively, and then play a lot of games there at the Forum. So that's going to be good for the rest. Good for the legs. Jaren said Jessica Ben – is it Benson? It is.
Yeah, Jessica Benson, yeah.
I almost said Jessica Biel, and I'm like, just stumbled there. She tweeted out Jaren on the post-game interview radio. He told me he was tired as hell. So, you know, like, these guys need a little rest, these road trips. I think the extended stay in L.A. Showed up in that Portland game.
Yeah, I think a little L.A. hangover. Yeah, I think so.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into an 82-game season. They're only five games into it, but, you know, you could tell at the end of the game, you could see the fatigue on these guys. And so glad they pulled this one off. Next game Saturday at home against the Heat, and then they got, two against the Nuggets following that?
Yeah, against the Nuggets Monday and Wednesday at the Wizards on Friday, and they started next week with the Timberwolves. You got Hornets on Wednesday, Suns on Friday, and back-to-back in New Orleans at the Pelicans. So I think very manageable schedule. Again, home heavy coming up in November. So I think they got an opportunity to put some wins together. That back-to-back with the Nuggets, that's going to be interesting. Jokic kind of got banged up, and I think he'll probably be back for those two games. So not going to get that lucky. It would have been nice to see them get two opportunities to take them on without Jokic, but glad to see Jokic. You want to see them beat teams with their best players. So, I mean, again, he'll probably be back for those games, but it's going to be interesting. It's a good measuring stick to go against a team that's thought to be ahead of you in the standings. I don't know if that'll end up being the case. I think they can compete right there with the Nuggets, but to get two back-to-back games with them at home, that's going to be interesting at the beginning of next week.
Yeah, you got some guys that are playing well for the Nuggets and then some guys that are struggling. You know, you mentioned Jokic getting banged up. He looked like he wanted to play the second half of that game, and Mike Malone was like, man, it's a long season. You know, like,
set yeah, you're the MVP, man. We're not going to force this right now.
He's listed as day-to-day right now. I would expect that he's going to play, but it's not set in stone for sure that he's going to play. I know that he's going to be on the trip, so if he doesn't play Monday – they're definitely going to see him Wednesday. Michael Porter Jr. is off to a slow start this year. He's not playing that well, but Will Barton has been, you know, Memphis guy, been playing extremely well. So, you know, the Nuggets are a deep team. They're a dangerous team. One of my all-time favorite Grizzlies is on that team, and I always like seeing him come back to
Michael
Memphis.
Green.
Yep, love that dude, man. So, you know, it's – even though he's not wearing a Grizzlies uniform, I will always respect him and his game and the way that he plays. I like that style of player, man. So,
yeah, and he was a guy that, I mean, he just came out. It was a G League guy, kind of about in and out of the league, man, and really earned everything he got. So I definitely love to see those type of guys and have respect for how he kind of got where he is. And it was a good man, fantastic, great love this time here.
Yeah, yep, he done a lot of good things, so. Looking forward to it, man. I will I'll be there. We're probably the post game shows will probably come like the morning after, like the day after both of those games. I will be at the Forum for both of them for the Monday and Wednesday game next week. So we'll work that out. Maybe we'll do a pre-show, like a matchup before the game on Monday, and then do like a series review after both games. We'll see. We can work that out as we go.
Sounds good. And to add to that, man, a couple sneaky good games after the two Nuggets games, two teams that coming into the season probably wouldn't have had a lot of thoughts on them being really good, but the Wizards, they're 4-1, and the Timberwolves are playing really well, too, defensively especially. They're 3-1, so those are four tough games. I mean, you would have looked at the schedule and thought, oh, the Wizards and the Timberwolves, those are two easier games, but not so far, man. Spencer Dinwiddie has been fantastic for the Wizards, averaging 20 points a game, man. He's been a revelation, really helped that team. I figured he would be big for that team. I think the one thing they were missing last year was they didn't have the true point guard, a guy that could really lead that team. I think they were missing that, and I think he's a seamless fit there. I'm sure fantasy, people that are playing fantasy basketball, I'm sure whoever has him is loving him right now, man, because he fills the stat sheet up.
Yeah, I don't know how serious his injury is, but he didn't play tonight, so I don't know.
Oh, did he not?
Yeah, no. I don't know if he'll be back. I don't know if it's a day-to-day thing. I didn't even see he got injured. Yeah, I just caught it like right before we came on that he didn't play tonight, so I didn't get a chance to take a look to see what's going on there. But, you know, he may or may not be there. But even, you know, without him, they still got plenty of weapons. Kyle Kuzma is playing really well, you know, and that's, you know, kudos to him. He was playing pretty well in L.A. before LeBron got there. And then, you know, his game, like his role changed completely. And I think people forgot that, you know, he's completely capable of this. He had 21-8 tonight. So, you know, Kuzma is able to fill it up. Maybe not very efficiently, but he ain't scared to shoot the ball. So,
no, he's a much better player than the narrative is out there. I mean, people talk about him like he's just straight trash. And if he's a guy that you got coming off your bench, especially, I mean, he's a good player, man. I wouldn't mind having a Grizzlies uniform. I mean, people talked about that in the past, and people laughed. It was like, no way I want that guy on the team, man. But, I mean, he can – especially when he has stretches where he plays really well, and you go back to that Lakers situation, I think that to kind of go against it, I think they chose the wrong guy. I mean, they let Brandon Ingram and Randall go and kind of kept Kuzma, because at that time people thought Kuzma was kind of the guy out of that group. And I think – I'm sure they're looking back, kicking their stuff on that one right now. But, yeah, I mean, he's been playing well with the Wizards.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers, they don't make all those moves. They'd be a heck of a team, man. You look at a handful of guys that they got rid of with, you know, Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, D'Angelo Russell. You know, those five guys are all in Lakers uniform, part of that young core that they busted up. And, you know, it is what it is. Hindsight's always 20/20. But, you know, the Wizards are definitely playing above what everybody expected them to be this year. The Timberwolves don't really surprise me all that much, because toward the end of the year last year, they were not necessarily playing to tank. And that's something, you know, they were playing to win close to the end of the year. And in the situation that they were in, you know, it's surprising that that's what they were trying to do. But, you know, here they are. And, you know, Anthony Edwards is looking great. Karl Anthony Towns is coming back after, man, a nasty year for him with COVID and losing family members and everything.
Yeah.
And he's looking great. So, you know, they definitely can't take those two games off. And you know, we know what the Nuggets are, you know, with Jokic, without Jokic. It's still a deep team. Even without Jokic, it's going to be a tough series if he doesn't play. But I think that he's going to be there.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see Jokic probably in both games. I was talking to one of my Nuggets guys that covers the team out there, and they think he's probably going to play in their next game. So I think for sure, even if he doesn't, that he'll be questionable going into the next game. I think he'll for sure be back by the time they make their way to Memphis. He'll definitely be on the trip, and I think he'll play. But again, man, I'm excited about it. I mean, they had lost this game tonight. I mean, you could understand, man, a long road trip, last game. I mean, you get doors blown off last night, some tired legs, but they did not do that, man. They came to fight, man. Struggled in the first quarter, got down 17, but didn't give up. I mean, that was an easy spot where they could have said, "This is melting in, man. We'll get back right on Saturday night and try to get a win at home against the Miami Heat." But they kept battling, man, and ended up getting a big victory in overtime. So sure, those guys are gonna sleep really well tonight. I don't think they're gonna come back to Memphis until tomorrow. I think I heard Coach Jenkins say. So again, man, 3-2, and I think a really good start to the season, especially without Dylan Brooks.
Yep, and I figure we should be seeing an update on him pretty soon. They said in 2 to 3 weeks, and we're knocking on that door. So, you know, hopefully Saturday I can get in on the pregame. I missed it tonight, and I want to ask Coach about him. Did you catch it? You know, if anybody asked about him at all?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I missed the pregame as well. I wasn't in the pregame press, and no one asked about him tonight. So it will definitely be good to get an update on that. But it is coming up to time to where they're supposed to give an updated report, and we'll see. Again, man, it coming to the season, they thought it was something that he's going to be okay. But then I guess they kind of looked at it again, did an MRI out and again, and kind of thought, well, maybe he needs some time to rest it. So hopefully he gets back, and hopefully it doesn't take him a long time to get acclimated. It's been a while since he's played in NBA games. So hopefully it doesn't take a long time to implement him back into the game. But they could really use him defensively. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's not going to come in, and I think it's been overblown about the defense. He's going to help, no doubt about that. But I think they still have some issues that they got to work out. He's not going to completely fix those issues, but he'll definitely help.
He's not a fix-all, that's for sure. But no. I would have to say, man, that early on, the point-of-attack defense has been pretty crappy. The guards have been playing defense from behind a lot. And Dylan Brooks will help eliminate that to a certain extent. But Dylan Brooks can't guard every guard on the floor either. So, no. You know,
I mean, because they just got killed last night against Portland, man. Even if they had Dylan Brooks, I mean, they still lose that game, I think. I mean, it's just – They got some things to work out on the defensive end, and their offense is definitely more advanced than their defense. It's usually the other way around. Usually teams come into the season and you'll see their offense struggle, and they might be a little bit further along defensively. That's not the case with the Grizzlies right now, but I just got a feeling that they're going to be better than this. I mean, they've been a team that – they're not a team that gives up points the way they do it. I mean, they've been kind of a sieve where teams have been able to kind of chop them up with backdoor cuts, and they're not rolling well and covering, but they, man, in the second half of this game, man, they stepped up when they needed to, really clamped down to be able to win this game. But again, man, it's been an issue outside of tonight in the first quarter. They just struggled. But outside of that, they've really struggled and given up too many points to be consistent. Eventually, you're going to have another game. If you don't get that covered up, you're going to have another game like we had last night against Portland.
Yeah, you know, I looked it up last night. Heading into the game against Portland, they were the worst defensive rated team in the league. And
then number one offensive rating, which is weird, man, to be on both ends of that spectrum. That was a crazy stat. And I think shout out to Sean Coleman. He put that out, man. That was a crazy stat to see. But yeah, I think that's something that they'll get cleaned up as time go on. And when Dim gets back, he'll definitely help with that. And they'll grow as a unit defensively. Because, I mean, they're a better defensive team than what they've shown here through the first five games. But again, man, I think that might have been the start or something tonight. I mean, they were able to make plays help side defense, man, blocks at the rim, getting deflections. And they definitely put the effort in. So hopefully that's something we see continue, because they're definitely going to need that on Saturday night against the Heat.
Yep, for sure. Man, I don't really have anything else that I want to talk about tonight. I think we pretty well covered it all. You got anything else before we get out of here?
Man, no, man. I think we pretty much got it covered, man. Just looking forward to them being back home, man. Three home games before they go back out on the road. So I think they're definitely going to enjoy being able to sleep in their own beds, man, and days in between games. Don't have these back-to-backs coming up.
Yeah, don't have to worry about rushing to get to the airport or traveling, nothing, man. Just leave the forum, go home and sleep, and come back the next day and do whatever. So,
because it's been a while. Last season was a complete grind, man. I'm sure they're glad to have these days off in between games, man. I can't remember what the number was, but it was like, felt like they were playing every night for like 2 months straight almost there at the end of the season. So, sure, they're glad not to have those type of schedules anymore.
Yeah, it was rough, man. It was nice as far as like somebody covering the team, because there was always something to talk about. But, you know, like toward the end, I'm like, dude, this is getting grindy right now, man. Yeah. I'm ready for some off days. I wasn't ready for the season to end, but man, it's like you didn't have time to take a breath, because when you took that breath, it was time to go again. So,
and they had that brutal 7-game West Coast trip. I mean, where what team did they play? They played Denver twice during the trip, which is at altitude. I think they played Utah. I mean, it was nuts, man. Then they came back home and played Utah, I think, after that. So it was nuts there for a minute, man.
Yeah, it's like they played Denver. They started the road trip in Denver, and then Denver. They ended the road trip in Denver.
That's rough, man.
Yeah, brutal stuff. So we'll get out of here. You can get the show on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I'm at DWill2111. Isaac, let them know where they can find you and get us out of here, man.
Yeah, man, you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC_Rivals, man. Again, big victory tonight. Back on the floor, better form on Saturday night against the Miami Heat. And we'll talk to you, man. We'll talk to you after that game to do a recap. And until then, we're going.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.